And I'd like to go to my message to you. And my scripture reading is in 1 Corinthians. So go to 1 Corinthians 9. And we're going to start with verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? But only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. If you would, bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing us together in your name. We thank you for all of the things that we have, that you've done for us, that we give you praise and honor for. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will be with us always and guide our thoughts and our steps as they lead us to you. Heavenly Father, bless the words that we will speak and thoughts that we will express, and help them to help each of us as you would have. And in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask. Amen. My text is that verse 27 of my scripture reading, and the verse 27, and this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, talking to the Corinthians. And verse 27 says, "But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." Perhaps you might be surprised, along with a lot of others, that the famous Apostle Paul, that started so many of the early Christian churches that's recorded in your New Testament and wrote so many of the New Testament books of the Bible, the Apostle Paul himself was too always concerned about the possibility of spiritual failure. We're all familiar with failure. We don't want to be a failure. But you know, there's an ultimate failure that could possibly be out there for each of us. And you know that ultimate failure in life is more important than all the others. That's what we need to be concerned about, is an ultimate failure in life. The Apostle Paul considered himself a work in progress. That's the way we ought to view each and every day of our life. We ought to view it as a growing process. The rebirth takes place whenever we put our faith and our trust in God's plan, which is belief in Jesus Christ, our Lord, and His coming and shedding His blood for the possibility of us getting and keeping forgiveness of our sins. And we do that by constantly recognizing each day of our life that there is a possibility that we're going to fail, at least that day. That there's going to be something within that day that we're going to come short of what we should be and what God requires of us. And so God's plan for us is that when we do come short, when we do fail on any and everything in our life, that we come to our senses as quickly as possible, and that we perhaps fall on our hands and knees before God, perhaps coming to God's altar And we admit to Him that we came short. We missed the mark. We failed in some particular aspect of our life, perhaps that day or this last week. And so we call on the mercy of God. And His plan is that Jesus Christ shed His blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And He is merciful and loving and will hear our cries of forgiveness and will forgive. Have you ever heard of the expression of flunking out? Have you heard that from your fellow classmates? Are you going to flunk this course? Are you going to flunk the grade that you're in and have to repeat it over? Yes, that's prevalent. I heard it all the time. And you know, there are things that I think probably that each one of us can say at some point in our life up to this point in time that we have failed in. We either sin in some aspect of our life or we failed by other people's standards, by their expectations of us. And so we know what flunking out is. Has anybody else ever flunked a grade in school or a course in school besides me? A few have, but I'm the first to say that I have, right at the very start. So that was a bad start, wasn't it? So it is possible, and I suppose likely, when you look at the span of a person's life, that they will have to go through some setbacks. They will have some failures to deal with. But just because you failed in one aspect of your life, perhaps committed a sin one day of your life, no matter what that particular thing might be, maybe you lost your job. Maybe you got fired from your job. Does that make you a failure? Well, in a sense, sometimes it does. At least it's a failure from the standpoint of the ones that judge you not to be up to their standards or expectations. So in a sense, you failed in that particular aspect. But does that make you a failure ultimately? No. We all go through setbacks. We all have problems. We all come short in things at times. Paul himself said, after I have preached all of these good things to you that I know of Jesus Christ and of following God and His way, then I'm concerned that after I do that, I myself might be disqualified or judged not to be worthy is another expression of it. Also, some Bibles would teach that words like being a castaway, cast off or cast out, is the same kind of analogy as disqualified or a failure. Life holds many possibilities for successes and failures. And the message that I have to you today is a failure, a success. Don't be a failure. Be a success. The ultimate failure would be your failure at the end of your life. Or if you're not ready to meet God when He comes back at Jesus' second coming, if you're not ready to meet Him, if you're not one of the ones that will be called up and called out to meet Him in the air as He comes down to this earth at His second coming, at the great day of the Lord, that will be the ultimate failure, is not being ready to meet God. Life holds a possibility of failure in many areas of our life. And we need to look at these areas in order to know that they are important. And then to know that we don't want to fail in these areas of our life. We want to be a success. We want to hold to the standards that are set. And the most important standards that have been set is God's standards for our life. We want our life to measure up. An analogy in the Bible is that at the end of the days, our lives will be weighed in the balances of God. And that would lead you to believe that your good is going to be considered and your bad is going to be considered. And God is the just judge. Thank the Lord for that, that it's not any one of us that are judging ourselves or each other. But God's standard, God knows each and every thought and intent of our heart and mind. There is possibilities, young people, of failures in finances or failures or successes in finances. We're not just talking about failures. We're talking about the opposite of that. How to be a success in life rather than a failure. What can make you a failure in life or contribute to it? What can make you be judged by God's balances and you come short rather than God judge you to be acceptable to Him as a child of His? In matter of finances, young people, when you give your word that you will do something, and it doesn't really matter who it is that you're saying, I will do this. When you give your word about your finances, you keep your word. You understand what I'm saying? Whatever you agree to do, you do. You keep your word. You also pay your bills. If you go in debt for something, you agree that you want something, you sign papers that you want it and you will pay for it, then keep your word. Pay your bills. Meet your obligations. Whatever your obligations are in life, meet your obligations. Part of your obligations in life has to do with if and when you have a family. Meet your obligations to your family. Your Bible lets you know that one of the worst things you can do is not care for your family. Not take the responsibility like you should. Take care of your family. And we can say that both from a standpoint of providing for them naturally with the material things they need, food, shelter, clothing, this kind of thing. Provide for your family naturally and provide for your family spiritually. It takes both. The bottom line in this regard of speaking of finances and holding your word, keeping your word, paying your bills, meeting your obligations, this is only right. This is not above and beyond anything. This is just sort of common sense. It's doing more of the minimum than anything else. The bottom line is maintaining your integrity. All of this has to do with integrity. You say something, you should mean it. You go in debt for something, you obligated yourself that you wanted it, you borrowed the money, you keep your word, you pay for it. You maintain your job to where you can pay for it. If you don't have a job, then you get a job. Because you gave your word. You said, I want this, I will do this, I will pay for it. Anytime you buy something, that's what you're doing. So your integrity has to do with, do you think things seriously? Do you mean what you say? Will you do what you say? Will you keep your word? Will you be honest in your dealings with people? There is possibilities of failures within those. And within the aspects that I say, any of us can fail in those respects. It's not as if we're perfect in all of the things that I've just been discussing. But you still maintain your integrity and you make it right and you take it seriously and you don't seek to get out. You seek to make it right. You seek to keep your word. If perhaps you do fail, you still try to keep your word one way or the other. You try to keep your obligations. You go to God and ask God's help. You go to God and ask God to forgive you. If need be, you go to the person that you have come short of doing what you say you would do and admit it to the person and ask forgiveness of that person and still try to make it right. Do you see what I'm saying? It all has to do with character that the Bible teaches all the way through it. And it has to do with integrity. Your word, your honor. God requiring you to be like that. Not just yourself or other people. This whole word of God teaches to be that kind of person. Do what is right. Almost every one of our Sabbath lessons that we're having recently in the Torah cycle, and particularly today, you know, had to do with that. Doing what is right. Sometimes you have, God always separates the holy from the unholy, the right from the wrong, the good from the evil. God always expects the best of us. And the Word of God lets us know exactly what that is. We don't have to wonder about it. It's no question about what is right, the right thing to do and the right way to be with other people and with the people that we go in debt to. God lets us know what is right. Also, there's great possibilities for failures, not only within finances, but within the family. Did you know one of the Ten Commandments says that we're supposed to honor and respect our mother and father all the days of our life? Doesn't matter how old or young you are or how old or young they are. That honor and respect is always there, and God expects it. God expects mothers and fathers to set the right example. Sure enough, sometimes we fail in that regard, and probably all of us have failed at least in some degree in raising our families. But you know what we ought to do? We ought to realize that just as quickly as we can and try to make a turn around in it. And try to be a different kind of person, a different parent, a better parent. And I'm talking about on a daily basis. Sometimes it may even be an hourly basis. The little children sometimes can really try your patience, and you can sometimes do some things on the spur of the moment and very quickly that is not acceptable as parents. We are an example to our children. They look at us and they see each and everything we do every day, each and everything we say, how we react. Of course, our brothers and sisters do that too. But our little children do that. How can we expect when they grow up, how are they going to be? What are they going to do and say in certain situations? How are they going to act? How are they going to react? A lot of times it's just exactly like they see that we have done in their upbringing, in their raising. And I'm saying to you, in your family, God expects parents to be righteous parents, to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of God, to teach them rightly behavior and righteous living. That's part of being a parent and a grandparent and any other loving friend of each other. God expects it of us, and we need to uphold that. God also expects us to discipline our children. If we see them doing things wrong, we're not supposed to just brush it off. We're not supposed to just look the other way because they're our children or our grandchildren. We're supposed to do what is right. We're supposed to do what God says to do in raising our children. And if it's necessary, then the Bible says, take a rod to your child. Does it not say that? It says, take a switch. That can be a rod. The switches that I've had, I think they felt worse than a rod because they had little spriggly things all over them that could each one of them hurt pretty bad. So I think a switch may be worse than a rod, but I think the implication is the same. God expects us to discipline our children on an hourly basis, if that's what it takes. Righteous upbringing. There's failures also possible within our friends and perhaps our relationships that we have in our neighborhood and perhaps at school. So we have to realize that there's possibilities for us to be a failure or a success when we're around our friends. We are an example to our friends. And we can be a good example and a good influence, or we could be a bad influence and a bad example. We want to be a success. We want to have a good influence on our friends. And hopefully that will let them see in us something that they desire, that God is working in our lives, and they see it and realize it and they want it. And that's the way God would have us to be. We need to be very careful in choosing our friends, because sometimes our friends can lead us in the wrong direction. They can cause us, they can pull us down rather than us bringing them up, simply because we chose the wrong people to be around. Choose good friends. Choose ones that you know love God, love Jesus Christ, go to church. Dress good, talk good, act good. All of that is important. And all of that God expects. Don't be anything but a success with your friends. Let your behavior reflect that is within you, and it will come out. And let God be what is in you, and godly behavior and conversation. Don't be influenced by bad friends. God was real concerned about that whenever he led the children of Israel into their country. When they first became a country and a nation, God was concerned that they would adversely be affected by the people that was already in that country. And we read about that through God's word. God realizes it's possible you're going to be affected by your surroundings and the people and what's going on. Did you know that if you're going to look for a husband or a wife, did you know that going into a bar is the wrong place to go? Does that not make sense? If you would like a husband or a wife, you don't go to a bar or a beer joint seeking a righteous person to be your responsible mate and bring up children together. That's just common sense, isn't it? Makes a lot more sense that you would go to church. or you would go to some other kind of a good gathering to perhaps, if you were in search for a person to live the rest of your life with. So we need to think about things. We need to know the possibilities of successes and also failures all through our life. What about in the area of enjoyment of fun? Is there a possibility for failure in our idea of having fun? Well, it absolutely is. If we expose ourselves to the wrong kind of fun, and that would mean bar hopping, beer joint frequenting, illicit sex, drugs, all of that some people consider just common, every place, every day, you know, you're not in the crowd if you don't do it. Is that not right? And yet people think that's fun, going out and having, getting drunk, going out and having what they call a good old time. They find out that it's not a good old time. They find out that that's not where joy and peace and happiness and contentment and worth in life is. But sometimes it takes tragedy. Sometimes it takes a destruction of a person or a family before someone comes to their senses in that regard. God wants us to learn this. He wants our parents to teach us these things as we grow up in life, so we won't become a late teenager or an early adult, and then our thinking is totally warped and out of place by how we were brought up. God wants us to have a good foundation, and we get that foundation with our parents and our grandparents primarily. Sometimes we don't even get it in school. So it really falls back to our parents and our grandparents in helping us to be a good adult, to get a good start in life, to have a good foundation. And part of that is our becoming aware of what good, clean fun is and enjoyment of that. So there's possibilities of successes or failures in that regard. And lastly, there's possibilities in the matter of faith. You know, we can put too much faith in ourselves. When we have things that go wrong in our life, we immediately start thinking, what am I going to do? What can I do? How can I go about this? Who can I call? Where can I go? And what we should be doing is calling on God. We should have a foundation of faith already in our hearts and lives so that when things go wrong, we immediately know who to call on for help. And the first and primary person to call on help is our loving God that brought us into this world for a purpose and a reason and gave us a gift and something to do and expects us to do it. We need to go back to the one. Hopefully we don't go back. Hopefully we just call on to him and go directly to him without any going back, because that would imply that we've not been with him all along. We go to God for our help. And we know that that's where we should go. We know where that's where our help comes from. And we know that perhaps, contrary to what we would do, we need to put God first always in everything. Let Jesus be our mentor. I know you've heard of the word mentor, like a a person that we would follow, a person we would put a lot of faith in, a lot of confidence in. Sometimes maybe too much if it's a human person. We need to put our faith and confidence in Jesus Christ. Let Him be our example. Let Him be the one that we follow. Don't be a failure in life. Be a success. Ultimately, you can be a success by holding on to Jesus Christ all of the days of your life. And as you perhaps draw your last breath, you will still be holding on and having your confidence and faith in Jesus Christ, your Savior. If you